I just got to be careful. This is a very dangerous show today. Hey, everybody, it's Joel Radio. Joel Fragamenti here. Corey Hall sitting right over there across from me, as usual.
Woo!
And got a special guest today.
Returning.
Returning from a long absence, a long slumber from Joel Radio. Or the former Corey and Joel Radio show. That's how long it's been, I mean. The great Bill Bouchard is here. Hey,
it's
Bill.
It's me! Bill, I'm back!
One of the funniest comedians you'll ever see, our friend. And we go way back with Bill. And so welcome, Bill, back to the show, everybody.
A stalwart from the old days.
It is.
Where's PJ? Where's everybody at? Where's the
old
days?
Well, PJ left town. PJ was our first guest we ever had on the show. And he now lives in what Carolina does he live in?
South.
Corey?
He's in the
South Carolina.
South, of
yeah.
course, the South.
Mm-hmm.
So
J-Cam, where's J-Cam at?
Well, I don't think he was ever on this show. He's another guy from the old days
school.
Of comedy. But so welcome into Joel Radio. We may be a bit nostalgic for longtime fans. And if you haven't listened to the show for a long time, you can get all the old shows. They're still available. They're all up on joelradio.net. Just hit the shows link on the right side, and you'll get all the shows going
Pick
all the
a good
way
one.
Back. It's in category shows, if you know how to do your WordPress.
Yes,
go all
sir.
The way back. I mean, lots of good stuff.
The classic episode number 12. Roasted and Baked.
Yes, that was a fun show.
That was me. Yes, I was on that show.
You were on that show. And we
you
had
remember
a,
that show?
Yes.
We had a vaporizer.
With a lawyer we were on.
A marijuana yes. vaporizing device.
The attorney, by the way, that was his vaporizer.
Yes, yeah. That was at the time.
I just showed up. It just happened.
Right. Our show attorney had his pot smoking device on the show, and we tried that out. And you guys can go listen to that. And we played your roast that night on the show.
Oh, I was roasting.
We played
that
your
evening.
Roast. We played. Well, we had taped it
okay.
Like the week before. You were roasted right before I think it was your wedding. Right?
Yeah.
We played that. So anyway,
I actually found the notebook.
That was a fun roast.
I actually found the notebook from that roast recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was in it? Anything? Was it like your material?
It was all my jokes.
We should recite our favorite roast jokes.
I remember my joke from that was one of the best roast jokes I ever wrote. I said, Bill's from a big Catholic family. He's got more brothers than a Popeye's drive-thru at 2 a.m.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, go on.
And I remember on that roast, nobody knew anything about you.
No.
They were like, his jeans are tight. That was like the
yeah, I think I brought up you smoking pot, and I was like the second to last guy to go up, and I'm like, how do you not know?
I like that nobody knows.
Yeah,
let's keep it that way.
Well, indeed.
I felt like one of the only guys that actually, like, you know, had been to your house. Or
there's only
like,
a few people.
They were all like, what?
Is that a tighter circle now than it used to be? Nobody, you guys don't get the invite back to the house anymore? Is that over?
Everyone, we'll have our once a year party.
Yeah, I've been to those parties.
Yeah.
Well, hey now.
Every time I have a party, Joel pulls tail out of the party. I don't
well,
know.
Well, then, but you know what? Here's what happened, though. I think that happened like for two consecutive parties. And then the third party, the two broads were sitting there together when I showed up, and it was real. Do you remember that one?
You thought it was awkward
then,
for you.
And then I show up. I'm the third person at the party.
You
and
know
the other
how hard
two,
it was not for me to make jokes?
And the other two were the girls that, yeah, it was bad. It was bad news. Those were the old days, though.
Oh, Bill, your sister-in-laws. and all their friends.
These weren't, they were friends. They were friends.
It was friends of Bill's sisters-in-law.
It was friends.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
Good you owe times. Me, Joel. You owe me a slice.
I owe you
a
what?
Me a slice.
What do you want a slice of?
A little.
If I wish there was enough to go around, I don't.
There's got
to
be a juggalo out there for you, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to come to Juggalo Weekend at St. Andrew's Hall in a couple
there's
weeks,
there's got to be a. Right there's got to be a juggalo who can't afford her cell phone bill. So she'll be hard to find afterwards.
I want a chick with bad dental work.
Yeah, all right.
They,
well,
they got that for you.
How about no dental work?
I'll
that's
that
usually
too.
Much
very
more of the
ride.
More common thing.
Well, folks, again, thanks for joining us. And if you'd like to call and leave a message,
sure.
No one's done it. You guys
well,
all suck.
Come on, when you do that, I think you're just encouraging people to not call.
All right, we've rebranded the douchebag hotline as the Rove Armstrong Memorial Hotline. So please call 610-552-0746.
Yes. And leave a message.
A voicemail. We'll play it on the show.
We'll play it on the show if it's good. And if it's not, we'll just laugh about it.
If you used to smoke weed with Bill and you wonder if he still got that tie stick, leave a message.
A tie stick.
If you went out with Joel after one of Bill's parties, please call and leave a message.
You all right there?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank
good,
you.
Good. I'll get you a beverage if you need one.
It's really the weather in this horrible state. It went from Arctic freezing to now it's balmy and it's wet.
It's like and wet and damp. Rainy and kind of floody.
And then it's
going to
be in the 20s at the end of the week.
Yeah, so it's a wild weather.
Everybody's got kind of a cold and they're all a little, it's jacked up.
I felt great till I walked into the studio here.
I know the dust has dust. It's really...
Come on, man.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Working on it.
You're working on it.
It's a work in progress.
Not one item has moved since I was here last week.
That's not completely true, but yes, there's things that need to be reorganized in the studio. And the thing is, I run out of space and then, stuff that I used to... See, what happens too is like technology changes and there's shit that I used to use for the show that we don't use anymore. And so that stuff's sitting there. There's like, shit. It's too much stuff.
You know, Bill and I being old married guys now.
Yeah.
Were you the clean one or was Susie the clean one?
Susie's the clean one.
Because obviously.
She's more organized, I should say, than I am.
Yeah.
She's more organized.
I don't just pop in over the, there's usually a party going on if I'm at your place because you live in, the freaking other side of the earth. But it's always clean. But is that just for party scenario?
No, it's
that...
the house is, I would say 90% of the time the house is clean.
It's like
yes.
Well, good. Yeah.
Oh, we don't like a lot of stuff like that.
There's no feminizing influence here, though. No. What I'm saying, Angel.
Oh, he's saying in the studio
it's not.
No, there's things that could be changed, certainly, but,
There's been not the touch of a woman in this studio.
Oh, I think there's been the touch of a woman.
No, but, it's one of those things where there's not enough room and there's too much stuff.
Yeah.
And, I need to,
You're accumulating things.
Yeah,
you're
I'm old and I need to downsize.
And you need to sort your mail. I'll be honest.
My
mail needs to be sorted.
But the thing is that you have shit that you can't throw away, and then you pay the bill online, and then you got the goddamn things.
I'll buy a goddamn filing cabinet.
All right, enough about
my deal.
What's that?
I feel like I try to make my living space clean. That's how I like it, because I think about what'll happen when someone has to come in here when I die. And someone's going to have to clean this thing.
Yes.
You don't want to... Think of it as a crime scene.
Yeah.
And think about how much work they're going to have to do with this crime scene.
Well, it is what it is. I'm like I said, I'm working on things. I
bet there's DNA all over this room.
Oh, jeez.
If they brought a black light here, it'd light up like Chernobyl.
No one's bringing a black light in anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to, because I guarantee you there's something on the ceiling of this place.
Oh, my goodness. This is a dump on Joel session.
No,
when did this happen?
Just saying, hey, that's
when
a compliment.
When did this happen?
That's a compliment.
Yeah? I don't know, man. Listen.
They turned the black light on. It looked like Avatar in here.
Yeah.
It just looked like the planet Pandora. It'll just light up.
So, Bill,
yes.
For those of you that don't know,
let's turn the fire on Bill's, you, Bill.
No, I was going to talk
reflect
about
from Joel.
I was gonna do a proper show and introduce Bill to those that know him. Bill, like I said, is a longtime comedian.
He
tours the country,
tours.
Right? You're going all over.
Trying to,
as we all are. And then Bill also teaches the long running comedy class here in Metro Detroit. Either at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle over at Joey's in Livonia.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these young comics have come through there, through breeding ground of comedy. So you've seen...
Or the car crash, that's the Detroit
comedy scene. I don't blame you,
scene.
Because it's... But, we have, so many guys now. I mean, there's
coming out of the woodwork, baby.
Because I used to remember, I sort of felt like when I was coming out, when I was a new comic, I felt like there was this giant, ocean of professional comics and guys that were working every weekend.
Yeah.
And then there were these handful of guys that were trying to bubble up and struggling to get sets and get gigs. Now I feel like there's a handful of guys that are working and there's 300 guys that are running around on open mic.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole thing's been reversed. It's been turned upside down.
It's kind
of
been reversed. Is that good or bad?
I think it's, I don't know, because
it's
I feel
good
like
if you're the guy working.
Yeah, if you're one of the guys working, but I think even the guys that are working aren't working like they used to work.
Yeah.
So it's,
I've been working a decent amount lately, and guys look at me like, wow, he's working on the weekend.
Yeah.
I got like 5 dates in my calendar, and they're like, "Wow, look at you!"
But I think that I think that ultimately there's less work for the professional guys, and so it's almost out of necessity that it ends up that way.
Yeah,
I feel like maybe there were fewer guys, opening or doing open mic type things because there was only like 2 open mics in town or 3 open mics in town.
Well, now there's a lot more,
and
than that.
Now there's like 13 or 14 probably in any given week. And then you got, two real full-time clubs in Detroit. Anyway.
I feel like there's a downside to so many of those open mics, though, too, because you don't learn a lot of the proper
things, maybe.
And right. I don't want to sound like you just don't learn the proper way.
But when we started out, and again, I don't want to make it us against them. This is just something that's happened. But when we were starting out, we were all looking to do that, to do the MC gig at the Comedy Cast or something. And so our sets and stuff were geared towards that. Yeah. Now these guys are just doing whatever the fuck they want because they know I'll put together an open mic and I'll take all the money and I'll
and
get
nobody
paid
wants
that
to MC anymore anyway.
Yeah, no one wants to MC. Everyone wants to be a star.
A lost art of the MC.
I'll tell you, it is a racket that that I never really got involved in the making your own open mic. We kind of, Joel
there can be a racket.
Joel hosted Bart's, and I would co. I would,
yeah, but
I would
you know what? When you think of Bart's as far as an open mic, though, it was the longevity. I think is what sets it apart.
Well,
from everything
and
else.
And it also worked because it wasn't a racket. I only got paid like $40 a night.
Do you remember? There was
but some of these guys are like they're charging $5 at the door, and they're keeping the whole door. Yeah.
There was a guy. There was a guy. Joel and I used to do an open mic in Ann Arbor.
Yeah,
on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, that one was a racket.
That guy was making like $300 a show.
Yeah, that was.
Where was this at?
Was at a German restaurant.
The Heidelberg?
You can say who that was, and that guy's not around anymore.
He's not around anymore. Yeah. It's Timmy P's Tickler on Tuesday night.
The Tuesday Tickler Timmy P at the Heidelberg.
And Joel and I did the number, and what were they charging to get in there, like $8?
Yeah, they were charging, college kids a bunch of money to get in. And then this guy, through his largesse, we would get like we'd split like a case of beer.
Yeah,
he'd like go, 15 guys would you
we
know
bought
what I mean?
We bought Coors.
Yeah, like they'd go to the liquor store and buy us beer, and then he would make $300 a night, and we'd all be driving in from whatever, doing
well, you
these
know,
shows
that's
for
him. Being an entrepreneur.
And
I guess,
we were the funny,
extent.
You know, we were but the funny I, guys. And,
it never occurred to me to do that. I never thought like that was never my thing.
But it's also, but I think probably too, and. For me, I don't do that because that's not the purpose of it. I don't, if I'm trying to like line my pockets, I'll do a real show. I'll promote, which I'm doing now. I'm promoting.
Yeah,
a
but
couple,
$300 a week for Christ's sake.
Well, but those things don't last they get so upside down. And, I feel like open mic isn't something you should really charge for. You shouldn't charge anything. No real
he was,
cover
he
for.
He had that working for a while.
He had it working for a while, but.
That was the great night where we saw the and because it was in Ann Arbor, it was in a college town. We'd occasionally get weird college kids.
Right, we get a guy in a gorilla suit, and
there was a kid in a bunny suit.
Bunny suit, yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, speaking of open mic, I heard you went off on somebody recently. Or something. I just heard this.
Yeah, well, there was a guy who, for those of you that don't know, listening, after this Club Bart thing closed down, which was, and I know we covered that on the show. That was, almost 2 years ago now. It's going to be 2
already,
years this summer,
man.
Yeah. God. And sort of the successor to it became this open mic at O'Mara's Comedy, which is a restaurant in Berkeley, Michigan, which is nowhere near as successful. And it's kind of this like back room of a restaurant, and it's a really lousy PA. But it still might draw. We might get 15 guys to go up on a Thursday night. So it still sort of has that vibe, but very little audience. And this kid came up, and I didn't know who he was, and I was hosting. So I put him last on the show, which, somebody's got to go last. And usually the new guys do that.
Yeah.
They can wait around. No need for them to walk the 5 people that are there. No need for them, their bomb, to scare people out of the room. So I put this guy on last, and he wasn't doing well, and I gave him the light. And then when I gave him the light, it all became about me. He was doing his shitty jokes, and no one was
you
laughing.
You also, by the way, bumped a couple guys who were better.
For
that kid to go on, a couple guys had shown
maybe that's the case. But anyway.
Like Josh Adams was there. Like,
yeah,
there
but
were
that,
guys
didn't,
that were like,
that didn't have anything to do with for what this guy did.
No, but he got a spot over.
Okay, no,
guys,
you're right. Yeah.
He got a spot over an actual funny guy.
So once I gave him the light, like, hey, it's time to go, he then made the whole act about me and what a dick I was. And made, and I can take, take people busting on me as the MC because that's kind of part of the deal. But this kid is like, no one knows who this kid is. And he was just saying stuff that wasn't even funny. It was like how fat I was. And it's just like, not even like. material.
Well, he was
calling
you Joel Fracatoni.
Yeah,
Joe Fracatoni.
Yeah, and then he was making fun of my name and
Joe
blah, 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 blah. And I let him go. I let him go for a minute. When the minute was up, I walked up on stage because he wasn't leaving.
Hey, I gave him the first three. You know what I'm saying? But then he took
that extra
step. You know what I'm saying?
And so,
what the hell's going on here?
So then
Joel's like inner Dago came out.
Well, let me get to that point. So then the kid, I go up. I literally have to take the mic out of his hand, which has happened dozens of times. Really, usually no big deal. The kid was drunk, too. That's the other thing.
Then he keeps
chirping. Now he's down. He doesn't have the mic anymore. I'm trying to literally close the show, say goodnight. And he's fucking over there. Joe Fracatoni, fucking fat motherfucker.
Who is this kid?
So I take the mic, and I start, you know, in wrestling terminology, as I like to say, I cut a promo on the guy, meaning I threatened him in ways without actually intending to punch him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there was no intention of violence, but I told him that he's out of line, and, you know, I don't know what it was. It was a pretty good promo, though, wasn't it, Corey?
I wish I really
yeah, and no one, and everyone with their cell phone, no one has this on tape, because I literally was like an inch from this guy's face. Telling him that if he thinks he's going anywhere in comedy, he's got another thing coming. I handed him his
he
ass,
gave him
man.
One of those.
Yeah, it was pretty intense,
no,
man.
I really am sad that I didn't have a video because Joel goes, I haven't been working for 14 years driving to Saugatuck in the middle of winter so I can take shit off a little pisshead like you.
Yeah, it was like that. It was pretty crazy. Yeah. And I was hot, you know. But again, it was never going to be like I was going to punch the guy. But the next thing you know, there's guys coming out of the back of the restaurant, the dishwasher's out there trying to break it up, thinking that I'm going to like sock this guy. And
the dishwasher.
Yeah, whoever. You know what I mean? There was all
those.
How many
comedy fights have you been in? I've seen.
Have I been in? No.
A couple.
But this was not a fight. This was me telling. Again, I was not going to get physical. And this kid, I think, was afraid of me at that point. So I don't think he was. I wasn't really worried about him raising a fist. It was just me getting my point across to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I lose control a little bit? Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
But, you know, just.
Dismissus will do that
too. A little bit. And it was fine. I think the lesson was learned. I haven't seen the kid again. He's still out there. I don't want to say his name, but I'm sure you've run into him more than once. And he's a real douche.
He shares the name with a former Michigan quarterback. All right.
I know who it is.
All right. Yeah. But you know, it just it was a thing where I had to go cuz when you do that, that's effort.
Yeah.
And when I'm hosting this open mic, I'm trying to make a little effort. I'm trying to get out of
there.
Trying
to make it nice.
I'm trying to not sweat. I'm trying to get my money and go home and make this thing smooth and make some money for the club if we're lucky. And that's all I want to do. But I have to go and get, I have to give this kid a code red because he doesn't understand the rules, you know?
Yeah.
You would think I would be in more fights over the years.
But no, Joel. I've seen Joel.
I've been in fights.
At Club Art, I was standing there. The guy slapped you across the face at one time. And that was wild, man.
That was one of the guys that worked there.
I thought
that
he was kidding at first. Yeah. I was laughing when it happened.
Yeah,
I thought he was
that
kidding.
Was,
and all of a sudden, I'm like, this is real.
Right. That guy. Well, that guy was, when people have substance abuse issues,
the thing is, too, with that guy giving you the open mic or giving you hell, is sometimes these guys get it in their head that somehow you're the one preventing them from being successful.
Right, yeah,
somehow.
he bombed and it's my fault.
You're clogging his career path. Yeah.
Poor Bill. Bill used to come on the show and he was just, you know, a regular one of the guys, just a comic out there doing the thing. Now you're like the godfather.
I hate that term. I fucking hate
now,
that shit.
You're the, they all come and kiss your ring.
He's the kingmaker, Corey.
You're the Monsignor.
And when you come up to open mic at Joey, I'm hiding in the back, sucking my thumb. I don't want anybody to talk to me. Just get away from me.
I feel so bad for Bill because every one of the little fledgling ducks, you know, I've had a staunch policy of telling open micers they suck until they don't.
I usually leave them for you to do that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, for you to work your magic on.
Which is, I generally, my feeling is you've earned nothing.
Yeah.
You are nothing.
Sure.
I have a boot camp mentality.
Right.
And those who survive that will then go on to be better comics. Most people look at me like I'm insane.
Wow.
But that's my feeling because, you know, look, it wasn't like anybody did that. But, okay, Bill Hildebrandt was one of the first guys I met in comedy.
Yeah.
Does Bill give you anything?
No, you know what his advice for me was? Get out of the business.
Right.
Quit now.
Do it now, man. You're in for a world of hurt. He said that to me. And guess what? He was fucking right.
He wasn't wrong. So.
But the older guys, the guys that grew up, you know, came up in the 70s and 80s, those guys were a little harder edged.
Yeah.
The kids now are all goddamn pudding pops.
In all honesty, over the years, back in the Dearborn Joey's days and everything, it has changed. It really has the process and the process.
Yeah, but I, and listen, no blame on you because number one, as I criticize your class, I also want to say that I'm the fill-in guy when Bill's not there, so I'm part of the problem. If it is a problem,
they're gonna have a class whether I do it or not.
But that's the thing. My feeling is like I feel like a class gives people a certain feeling of a certain empowerment that you don't get. Because I never took a class. Yeah, I just showed up. Yeah. I showed up at Club Bart and I bombed. And every guy that followed me called me names and called me all kinds of shit. And that went on for weeks.
And that was just me.
And that went on for weeks. Yeah, and that was Corey. And Corey
you
dumped.
Greasy Wapdago, son of a bitch.
Corey dumped on me, you know what I mean, back then. And deservedly so. But I felt like it was a natural selection type process. If I was tough enough to take all these guys' shit, eventually they'd have to let me in. Eventually the door would be open enough, and I'd shove my foot in, and I'd get in there. Yeah. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
But I feel like with the class, it's sort of like you're made. You know, you go in and you do the show usually in front of a sold out crowd because all your friends and family are out there. And I feel like it gives people like more of an entree into the business, but maybe that's not always a positive.
I'm looking at a photo right now of Joel doing comedy in a lumber aisle. Of a
I mean, that's what you need to experience as
that
a comic.
Is,
that should
you
be your second gig ever.
You know what? And that was probably a year in, and the guy doesn't like to admit he was at this. I found this old box of photographs, which is old pictures.
Who, Hildebrand doesn't like
it? Well, you know, anyway, he doesn't like to admit.
Bill Hildebrand doesn't want to admit that he did comedy in a lumber aisle of a Home Depot.
It was the Home Depot staff Christmas party.
We all have our shit gig that we've
Flint,
done.
In Flint, Michigan.
But see, the problem is these open micers have not gone and done comedy in a place with mounted deer heads.
Yeah.
You know, they've not done this shit. And so...
But going back to my point about the class and that,
Jones,
I mean, your point is that there's going to be a class anyway, and if it's not you and I teaching it and guys who sort of know the hard way to come up in the business, then some lunatic will teach it.
Prior to Bill.
And really, we'll have some real nutcases going around. Yeah.
Prior to Bill, it was taught by an improv actress.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, she was not a stand-up that I was aware of. I mean, she might have. She had a stand-up set.
She did some gigs.
Yeah, but she wasn't a like.
She wasn't a working comic. She wasn't a road dog, as you'd say.
I'll tell you the joke she told us when.
Because you took that class.
Yeah, I took that class a long time ago, and her big joke was, "I'm such a bad driver. I get flipped off by people inside the car."
As opposed to anyway. Oh, I mean, like, she meant like in her car.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure the fucking joke out.
Okay,
jeez.
Meanwhile, she's out there playing bus driver.
I wonder what she does now.
playing freeze tag. But she was an improv actress.
Yeah.
She wasn't a stand-up.
Right.
So you're right. Someone will teach you, and there's classes everywhere.
Yeah.
Every town there's a guy
and
who's
they
guru
bubble up and
Bill's kind of
I don't ever take that guru role or anything. I just teach it and go. That's it. It's I don't like this. You know, it's not my dojo.
It's not a dojo.
It's not a dojo.
What are you talking about?
It's just a class that Ridley puts on, and he said, Bill, do you want to teach this class? And I said, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much that simple.
You don't teach in a gi? You don't. Yeah. What happens, every class, Bill says, welcome, class. He bows. He kneels on a tatami mat. And then he takes out his katana and slices through six bamboo poles.
But what you're saying is that some of these guys, what they do is that it ends up becoming like a roving band of comedians, and the guy books gigs for them to do. And I think he ends up taking all the money. But basically, you become this guy's opening act in a sense. And you go out and you do a bunch of sets in front of him when he's playing plays.
And I have when you do this class, I have no illusions that anybody's going to even go on and do this because there's only a handful of people that end up putting themselves through what you put yourself through.
Yeah, right.
And if they have the mentality for it, that's great, and the stomach for it. But a lot of people don't have it. A lot of people don't have that patience you need to have. This is an act of attrition.
And when I used to guest host the class, I took it too seriously. I treated it like
Corey tried to. Well, it was comedy genocide. He was trying to get rid of anybody who.
Well, no, I mean, I really did look at it like people came there to want to learn the profession,
and they want
to
get the.
And half the people didn't. Half
it's
the
funny because people
there,
will say, "Be honest with me, tell me the truth." And then when you're honest with them, tell them the truth. That's not what they want.
When I was doing it, it was good cop, bad cop.
Yeah,
Bill would come in and help them try and write their jokes, and then I would go in and go, that is terrible. You got to try this over again.
Yeah, I think there was like a 55-year-old guy that I think I almost made cry the other day when I subbed for you. And I felt bad, and I thought it wasn't so much what I said, because what I've said to other people.
Yeah.
He just did not take it well. Yeah. He just kind of sat there with his jaw wide open going, oh, geez.
You know, I did enjoy it. When I did it, I did enjoy it, and there were people that really took to it and liked what I was saying and like wanted wanted that. But the other half of the class wasn't there for that.
They couldn't handle it. That's the truth. They can't.
We had a woman one time. She came in, and she was a middle-aged black woman. Mm-hmm. And her cell phone went off about 4 times during the class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like, and I'm like, you can't. You got to turn that off. And she was like, well, I got kids. And I'm like, well, then you don't have time for a comedy class. I got in trouble for that one.
Yeah, well, but, you know.
I got kids.
Part of the thing, too, that I try to remember now, and maybe Bill doesn't think of it this way, but at least I do, is I go, you know, no matter how good they perform in the class and at the graduation show, that really has no bearing on their success in the real world of comedy because some of those guys come out and they're hot and they have this 6 minutes and it's funny and they do the graduation show and they kill and then you never see them again. Yep. And then there's the guy that bombs and has nothing, but he works at it.
Chips away and sticks around.
And then that guy, 5-10 years later down the road, the guy's working and he's successful on some level and you know, the other guys you never hear from. And so, really, even what you do in 6 weeks is nothing. And in comedy, that's not even, like, that's not even a first step.
Yeah.
That's not, I mean, that's just, it's, but yeah.
Bill
so.
Has had success stories.
He has.
There's been people that have come to your class, but I think what you're saying
but
is
I
that,
see what, the success isn't the class, it's what Joel's saying, it's the fortitude.
Yeah, so.
It's the belief. You know, I think I've written really good jokes for some people. You can't take it all that serious.
Yeah. Well, that is,
really helped my joke writing abilities is this class. It's the truth, too. I'll be like, I got to write something for you, man. You're not coming up with anything.
Right.
And that's the fun part of the class for me is trying to.
And you really do.
You know,
write,
trying to
Bill
change somebody
jokes.
Up there.
There's guys, everyone's running around with one of your jokes.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, you know, anyone that's taken that class.
But see, my feeling is, why share that material?
It's usually their idea. I just kind of
improve it.
Yeah. Well, these comedy students got nothing but premises.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And, you know, occasionally the guy has the story, how he went hunting and whatever, and that's like, there's nothing you can do with that. But guys come up with all this stuff that's just ripe to have a punchline.
Yeah.
And they can't seem to, you know, do the math and make it happen.
I heard that I went hunting story at least 4 times in that class. In 4 different
every
sessions.
Guy has has a hunting story that he thinks is hilarious.
Then, yeah, and you know, and then Barney fell over the log, and you're like,
then we had a circle jerk. That's what I wrote.
Yeah. Yes, there you go.
Here's what we
put that in.
I wiped my ass on one beef jerky, and then I put it back in the bag.
I put it back. He thought it was pudding.
And there would be a guy who would come do this, and you go, this is not a bit, sir.
Right.
What cracked me up during the class was people would come in and they would not be what they were.
Right, right.
They'd come in and they'd be like, I'm one guy who's now still working, trying to do comedy.
Sure.
He's a Pakistani police officer.
Right.
He came up and did all Kardashian jokes. Was doing, you know what I mean? Like, he was doing just like nondescript like jokes about nothing.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, you are aware that you're a Pakistani police officer.
A lot of people don't see what they are. That's the truth, too.
Which is like, any comic would kill for that.
Right.
That's 20 minutes of material.
Sure, sure.
How many Pakistani cops do you know?
Yeah, I know.
None.
Give me a student that's getting a divorce and has a substance abuse problem, and we're in business.
That's that'll. But you know, it's funny too, though, because when you say that about the Pakistani cop, and I know that guy, and that guy's fine. I got no problem with that guy. I mean, he's not.
I'm just saying that it was
right.
He wasn't aware of what he could utilize.
Here's a problem I've had with students, where like you get a guy, and I remember like there was one guy who was like. He worked in, like, I don't know what he did. He worked at customer service or some shit like that, let's say. I can't remember exactly. And all of his jokes were his experiences at customer service, and it was all this material. And they were true stories that he from his work, and he weaved them into a thing. And I said, okay, but here's the problem I have with your bit. Is like, when you're a professional comedian standing on stage, you don't want to be doing all this shit about, hey, I'm in customer service, and here's my jokes. You're a professional comic at that point.
I used to be.
And they don't want to hear. Yeah, and so I tell guys, I go, try to, I mean, use your real life and put it in there, But, you know, a lot of times you want to come with people as, you know, this guy's not some ham and egger who's, you know, taking the bus down here. You know what I mean? The guy knows what he's doing. They want to feel like they're in good hands. They don't want to feel like they're being,
No, but they'll tell their story about like some waiter. I cannot believe people don't know how to supersize their fries. They'll tell the story.
And they'll get laughs because it's relatable. And you tell people, you know, use what you know.
It's a fine line.
Yeah, it is.
It's a fine line because you don't want it to be all like plumber jokes.
Right, right, right.
The guy could, you know, it could all be about whatever their trade is.
Yeah.
But you have to go, if you're like an 8 foot tall lesbian, you might have to comment on that.
Bring that up somewhere, right? Yeah, usually in the beginning. Is that good advice?
Yeah.
People come out, the first joke's about them, right? Isn't that Comedy 101?
Yeah.
Come out, talk about yourself.
That's 101, yeah. That's 101. That's 101.
Bill's teaching a 102.
Yeah, oh, I have no idea.
I don't even know what I'm doing anymore.
When you get a brown belt.
Everything Bill, is blending together in these last few years. But
Bill has not thought about the class this much.
I'm just so tired of talking about open mic comedians. Jesus, I want to beat them all to death.
I talk about the class more, and I haven't talked about it.
Oh, my God.
Look, yeah. No, guys. I just feel bad for you, Bill, because your life is a living, unending hell. Hacky open micers. Bill was like, it's like he said to me one time, he's like, you know, my phone is not an emergency hotline.
What kind of calls?
How many people have to get on stage right now?
That's the thing.
Nice. That's
the call.
I need
stage time.
Well, I got a gig coming up. I want to get a tape. I mean, they think I believe all this bullshit.
Yeah,
too, you know.
Right.
Or, you know, I got to get my file. I want to shoot myself doing. I guess that's always the thing. I like to shoot myself in front of a big audience.
They want to get on Friday.
I know these guys all have
sending
angles.
Out my tape. My right. tape. My
these
tape.
These guys all have angles like they're going to break open show business and like. I'm going to be on Fallon.
Hey, man,
week.
I got
and
guys going, that want to meet with me and have lunch with me all the time just to try to figure out how they're going to get to the next level. I'm not the guy you need to be fucking talking to. I cannot help you.
I don't even know who that
I'm
guy is.
I'm trying to help myself.
Well, the first mistake is identifying. Yeah, they don't look at you and go, I would be a bigger name if this was, you know, they're not like.
Yeah.
They're not identifying the right target.
Yeah, they're not.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's flattering when people think you can help them and stuff, and they come to you for advice, and I go, well,
I can give advice.
If a guy comes to me for advice, I go, well, I'm glad he's coming to me because he could be going to some other moron for advice, and at least I know I'll give him good advice.
I feel bad because I've been friends with Bill for so many years, and sometimes I just want to call him up and go, hey, did you see what this, you know, and I feel like I'm like, you're the clock is ticking because you're so inundated.
I'm building a vest.
Like, no, I can't even like call Bill and just talk to him about whatever,
right?
Because you know somebody who's playing a xylophone.
I had a guy.
He's going to be the xylophone comic.
Yeah, I had a guy stop me the other day. He was so bummed out we were canceling the open mic because there's no audience. He offered me $50. He said, "I'll give you $50 not to cancel." So I go, "Are you crazy?" He goes, "Well, you got all these guys here wanting to practice their craft. I mean, this means something to them." And I'm just like, "Are you? There's no fucking audience." There's no audience.
That was his argument.
Yeah, because
like,
he was felt bad. For, he felt bad for the comics. And he went,
"Believe me, you know what?
These guys don't want to do jokes in front of each other." Okay,
there's plenty of open mics where they can come with no audience. Yeah. Believe me, there's four or five.
There's
of those
plenty of shows that
I'm not happy that there's no audience, but there's no audience. Let's be realistic.
Yeah. That's a weird one. Yeah, I don't get that, but
Oh, poor Bill.
Or they'll tell me what we need to start doing to have an audience. Just it's Monday. It's a fucking Monday in June, man.
It's Monday.
People aren't showing up.
Right, yeah.
It doesn't get dark till 9.
You know, if you just had dollar drafts, the place would be packed every Monday.
Yeah.
It's like, no. It's amateur comedy.
If you had three friends.
I'll tell you what, though.
The audience is limited.
If you had a wait staff like the bartender at the place we just had lunch.
Oh, jeez, the tits on her.
Yeah?
Oh,
unbuttoned her shirt.
Look at this.
Wow.
Wow. By the way, I was not at the pre-show lunch.
Sorry.
That was Corey and Bill working on a project that I don't even know anything about. So
super top secret.
Super top secret project that I'm not involved
but,
in.
But we went somewhere where they had cilantro. You wouldn't want to like it. But
it was very good.
Yeah, the boobs and the thing. Hi.
Oh, that's all right.
She was showing them off.
All right. Well,
what the hell did we just talk about?
Oh, I don't know. I could see Bill, like, I could see him going into his dark place.
He's fatigued.
If we could get off the subject of these comedians.
He's fatigued from us even bringing it up.
You know what? One of my favorite things about comedy and new comedians is watching their enthusiasm die.
Yeah. That is something, isn't it?
Because it happens.
Yeah. This is the great thing about comedy. They start doing comedy, and you'll never get a better audience than the first 6 months you do comedy. when you suck at it the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of your friends and family come.
They do, yeah.
And they go, wow, and you get huge support. And I was getting, I remember when I started, girls that I, like, you know, went to high school with would show up.
Sure,
and, like,
yeah.
They didn't even like me.
Right.
And, like, would show up, and I'd be like, wow, this is great. I did a show the first year I was in comedy. 300 people came to the Comedy Castle on a Sunday night with a couple other comics.
Yeah.
With Ryan, and 150 people came for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like my whole
I actually remember that set that you had that night. I remember that. And you crushed it.
I did. But like, I thought, oh, this is awesome. Those people never came again.
Yeah, that's it.
And the better you get at it, the less they see it.
They lie. I can't.
And now, if you like, now on any given night, I'm good. Yeah. And people will never know. They'll never come see it.
Yeah, I think I've literally not had someone come to see me specifically at a show in like 3 years. Like, literally, I mean, some of these I don't even promote because they're in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Actually, I think I have had some people, but, you know, like, I just don't even bring it up anymore around people. People always say, when are you playing? When you do that, you go to the family function and people are going, when are you playing? All right, I'm playing here in like 3 months. Oh, yeah. You coming? I'm coming. Let me know. And then it's like they didn't come anyway.
I had to tell my mom to stop coming.
Oh, yeah? Your mom would just come?
Every time I played the Comedy Castle, I'd be like, look, I'm here regularly. I'm, you know, I don't need you to be here every time.
It's not special anymore, Ma.
Yeah, it's not,
Right, because I would do that. My dad and his wife, I would say, because they would like to come. They would drive to, like, Toledo to see me back in the day. And they would always, they like to have a nice night out. So when I was playing some of these clubs, and I was usually, I think, the MC at this point, even back then, I'd say, I'm coming, and they'd make the trip, and they'd come down. And then eventually it got to, hey, guys, I know you guys like to come. I'm playing here. And they're like, yeah, I think we're good that
night.
Good, we got something else planned. And then it just became where I just stopped bringing it up. So, you know,
and now it becomes like your dirty little secret. All this business.
It is.
Oy.
This business of
it
show.
It is something. Well, I had the pleasure of doing the Palace of Auburn Hills a few years ago. And
here we go with this.
No, but I'm not to be a dick, but this was the end of this is what I'll always. All right, fine.
It's a great gig. I had a great gig, and I did it, and listen,
I have an uncle that happens to own a suite at the Palace. So immediately I've got 20 family members at that, and I got a whole extra row of seats that
I took.
So that was my big conquering gig.
Well, that's a big gig.
It is, but here's the problem with that now. When are you at the Palace next? Well, you know, as a matter of fact.
It's a rarity.
It's like.
They may never do it again.
I'm not there, but I'm playing at the Old Hickory in Fenton on Wednesday.
The Old Hickory, a great place to dickery dack.
I'll be the 11th of 12 guys on it about 11:35 on a Wednesday. If you feel like, if you don't, you know, since I'm not at the Palace anytime this decade. So, you know,
the Old Hickory.
I'm doing that tomorrow night, by
the way. That's right up the road from the other one.
It was the Old Snappers. Yeah. The Old Hickory is now. And by the way.
I had the great pleasure of opening for Miss Lorna Luft at the Palace Theater.
Yes.
There's 1971.
There's a booking war over Fenton, Michigan now. Just so you know.
I
don't
want to
get. There's fights.
Who?
Between the Navi Stars and the Old Hickory and the other one and Stuff and Flint.
The Navi Stars.
The Navi Stars. And O'Corey's got that coming up. And I told him that was one of the all-time hell gigs.
That thing is great.
That is the shitty. That was I don't know if I told the story on the show or not, but I was doing that, and I'm doing my set, because my thing is, I try to not turn it into me talking to the audience when it's a bad show or it's a small crowd or something. I actually try to do the material, and I just do the material, and I let it die.
Yeah.
I throw it right out there. I send the troops out there, and they die, okay? Explaining this to the audience. Like, you know, you're more than aware of me bombing. I'm giving my bombing techniques to all the young comics out there. This is how you bomb with grace. So I'm bombing, and a waitress comes up, literally in the middle of the show.
I remember when you bombed with Grace.
Yes, Grace, that was in 2009.
She didn't come back for the
Grace,
third date.
That is, that
all
was,
right.
that was,
there you
a,
go.
That, that's a good, in, that is the most inside reference of the night. You get the blue ribbon for the girl I dated
Working
with an obscure name. Yeah, okay.
There you go.
And a waitress walks up. Now, waitresses don't walk up to the stage in the middle of a show at a normal comedy venue.
Not normally.
And she walks up and she says, excuse me. And I say, yeah, you know, in between jokes. She said, the guy in the booth in the corner wants to know if you have any trucker jokes. That was her request through the guy.
That is just the best.
Like, I was right, heckled by proxy.
Yeah.
Via waitress. And then
by people who have no clue, obviously.
Right, and then I'm doing all this self-deprecating jokes about my sex life and sort of stuff that is witty and, you know, and nowhere in the realm of trucker jokes or nowhere in there. And
they book these shows in places where people, like, obviously don't have hope. Like, and I'm like, well, you live here, so clearly...
I love the booking war over Fenton, though.
Yeah, there is. I know. I'm in the middle of it.
Where the
night.
Hell are we living? That this is the territorial fight people are having in this business.
That happens all the time. There'll be some small
embarrassing man. I know.
The famous Finley war over Waldo Peppers.
What are the venues in Fenton though? You got Navistar now. You got the Old Hickory, and what was it? What's another one?
I don't know if it's some guy in Flint or if it's Kurt who used
or
to
the
run
Jewel
Snappers.
Of Grand Blanc.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, see, there's something like that, and I'll find more about it tomorrow. But there's one guy now.
That's not too far from the Holly then either.
The guy that's putting the Old Hickory together, I think, has like at least as like two rooms now, and that's problematic for some other people because you know. There's only so many no people that can come to these shows. You know what I mean? There's only so many empty rooms are fighting with each other. Yeah. Like, you know. Like,
hey, look, we got six people to divide up for these.
Look, we're having nobody on Tuesday. No, we're having nobody on Tuesday. Well, we're having nobody on Wednesday.
Listen, man, I draw less than you do.
I had a guy who's
not... We're having nobody on Wednesday.
Yeah. I had a guy who's not running, not in the business anymore. In Finley, who said to me,
"Ohio,
I've got the power in Finley now."
He's the one who grabbed that.
That's quite the power.
The power in Finley.
All right, so Bill, I feel like you're fatiguing on the comedy.
Oh, I'm just tired of open mic comedy.
Yeah,
not
is.
In a bad way. I understand this.
Well, this is the
game.
And people do listen to the show. I know because they want that inside. They want that inside.
Do they?
They want the inside comedy talk. They do.
Yeah.
This came up when
I had any advice to give to a comedian, just be patient right now and get good at it instead of thinking you deserve to be somewhere.
Yeah,
you don't.
Nobody deserves anything.
Okay.
Shit.
And,
if anybody deserves anything, it's like the three of us in this room more than those guys, and it ain't happening for us either.
You know?
So, you know what I mean?
Other important point, don't move to Chicago.
That seems to be the new big city, though. It really is.
Yeah?
That seems
but
to
it's
be the
not helping your comedy career.
They got comedy coming out of their wazoo there now. They got clubs opening left and right.
But I thought guys go and they complain that it's all improv when they go. Yeah. When they
Chicago. Yeah, well, what it is that they do have open mics, but like 40 guys go up.
So there's not enough stages. There's too many guys.
There's not enough time.
Right.
You get stages, but not enough. There really is. You know, we do have a good amount of work, though, in the area. At least Bill's got a room, Laugh Tracks, which I'll be doing on Friday. So
I have a room in Commerce, Michigan.
Oh, that's right.
Called the Mad Hatter Pub, which you guys are both booked at in April.
Yep.
Oh, I would thought Joel was like, I have a room at the Motel 6.
Yes. I'll be going there later tonight. And
if I'm lucky, Bill will have a party.
I'll be taking one of Bill's sister-in-law's friends there.
You know, the one girl broke my heart pretty good, man.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that?
She's having a baby now.
Is she really?
Yeah.
It's not mine. It was 2008.
Unless it was sitting dormant.
And then she stored a few in the freezer.
It was in a pouch.
And then she spit in a cup and froze it for 4 years. Oh! Hey,
ow,
now!
Ow!
Hey!
610-552-0746.
Oh, I don't know.
If you want to hear more stories about Joel's ejaculation, please call and leave a message. On the Rove Armstrong douchebag hotline.
I love that everyone's offended now.
Yeah.
Before I turn the mics on, you've never heard more foul language coming out of these two guys about my sex life. And now, I make a crack and you guys, oh my Lord, I can't believe you said
I can't
that.
Oh, heavens. Oh, heavens, what has happened to us? Oh, that little white man be talking about his
blowing. Well, listen, I'm the only
stuff.
Single guy in this room, so somebody's got to have fun. I mean, you've been married. How long have you been married now?
Going on 8 years.
Going on 8 years. Jeez.
Holy
shit. Your wedding felt like it was yesterday.
But that bachelor party felt like it was last weekend.
That was a classic.
One of my all-time favorites.
Corey had a bachelor party, and a nice time, a fun time had by all.
But it couldn't compare to
Didn't compare to yours at all.
Well, mine was just got sick at one point. It got really weird.
Yours was,
Although I am grateful you two were there, keeping my father-in-law busy for a while.
Yeah, we did.
I was happening.
We were playing cards with Bill's father-in-law while,
I was on the floor getting a lap dance, and I remember that this girl spread her legs, and then there was my father-in-law right on the other side. How you doing, Bill?
And
pretty good, Bob.
Bill's bachelor party had like human trafficking. Yeah. It really was. It was the Underground Railroad of whores at Bill's so bachelor party.
I remember walking in watching Ted Rye getting beaten with a belt.
Oh, God. That guy was. Yeah, it was just. That was bizarre. And then you see. And then, you go to these other ones, and sometimes they're very tame. And Corey's was somewhere in the middle there. Corey's was not.
Mine was fine.
Corey's was fine. Yeah, it was good. Corey had a good time.
But you know what? If we hadn't gone to Bill's, you would have thought.
Yeah,
mine was
Bill.
Great.
Bill's, the bar was set incredibly high. And
yeah.
That,
well, it was.
You know.
It was nothing but Bill's brothers. Who are all like in paving and construction,
yeah.
Right?
And then comics,
yeah,
right.
It was
so
a real toxic mix of crazy people.
Yeah. There were people that walked in I hadn't seen in years, man, fired up.
Good, man. Well, that's,
we had my brother. We had like some respectable people,
right? Right.
And then we had Harry. So I mean, that did,
you had
it did bring the curve. Where were you?
What do you mean?
Where were you?
I think I was working or something.
It was a Friday night, man. I think a lot of guys were working.
Harry Art.
There weren't as many comics because of that, yeah.
Well, I went to a bachelor party. I don't know if I told this story or not. I went to a bachelor party with, like, no money. It was, like, a family member, and I kind of knew, like, stuff was going to get comped. But I didn't even know we were going to the strip club because the guys, I was asking, we're not going to the strip. Because, the ladies were running. There's no strip club. We're going out to dinner downtown. I don't know why. So I show up with no money. I got $20 in my pocket. And we end up at the strip club. And I literally had 20 bucks. So I went and got it the dance, and they have to take it. They have to take it to the VIP. And the girl's dancing for it. And this is why I feel like the biggest sucker, like the guy on vacation here getting fleeced. I literally, the girl danced, and then the song ended, and she just kept dancing. And I said, okay.
Oh no!
And I only had $20.
You fell for the oldest one in the book.
I know. I'm like the fucking
Look at his ass.
I'm like the insurance salesman from the small town in the big city, right? And I literally, and the girl gets done, and I go, and then at some point I just go, hey, how much do I owe you for all this anyway? And she gave me, it was like $80.
Yeah,
I had 20 bucks in my pocket.
Man.
So I literally I have to go. I go, can you come with me for a minute? And I went back to the table, and I go to my uncle. I go, hey, uncle, we got to give this horse some money. I literally had to give my uncle to go into his pocket and pay for my lap dances because I was.
Oh, my God.
And this wasn't like, this is a good 4 years ago. This was not wasn't some 21-year-old punk. You know what I mean?
You got mesmerized by the butthole.
I don't even know what happened. I guess I forgot. I guess I forgot.
You know exactly what happened. You actually thought she liked you.
I actually dated a stripper, and I still don't know the rules.
Here's the title. Here's the title of today's episode: Mesmerized by the Butthole.
You were.
You know what? That'll be an alternate title. That'll be for. So
it is true. We used to when my. One of my groomsmen was at State. We would go to the all nude place.
The Deja Vu.
He would sit there and really rap with the chick.
Yeah.
Talk about their classwork.
Yeah.
This is not working with the stripper. And then they'd actually talk to him because he was engaging them on a human level. But I'm like, it's not working.
Yeah,
that's a bad move.
I'm not a strip club guy. You guys go?
Not really. I'm not really a strip club guy.
I never have been.
I just don't. It's the money thing. I have a hard time part with my money.
I've taken on two different occasions. I took girls to the strip club. Yeah. One of them was a girl I was dating.
Yeah.
And then one of them was just a girl I was doing comedy with.
Yeah.
And when I took the girlfriend, it was fantastic. That I recommend. If you guys can get the lady, if you can get the wives out there. To the strip club. I mean,
not a fucking chance.
These girls where I went, these strippers were ready to just go. They were ready to just throw down with the girlfriend. Yeah. I've never seen you know what I mean? Because a guy, you kind of go, if you go in there, you're horny and you're hoping you might hook up with one of these chicks and you have negative zero fucking 10,000 chance. No fucking possibility.
Yeah.
You bring your girl and we were getting chased out into the parking lot by girls. We were just getting off work.
No, they do like
it. It was unbelievable. Yeah. And maybe there would have been some financial transaction at the end of that even, but it was still and we were kind of newly dating and, my girlfriend was just not, she wasn't going for it. But, just doing shots and shots off each other's tits and, just, I mean, they were like sucking on the same test tube shot and just like wild stuff, man.
They get crazy.
They get wild, some of these girls.
It's
they
hard
bring
to,
a girl to the strip club. That's the best.
I'm
going to
drop $80. I'm going to do it on a crack whore. That way I know I'm going to get something.
You want to know exactly what you're getting,
Yes.
Yeah, but guys, bring the lady to the strip club. That's a nice time.
Good times. No, I did that when my girlfriend was like, we went to Canada because it was her birthday.
Right.
Was,
well, that's where this happened too. Yeah. Wild time. At the end,
that was good time. She got
Canada has that reputation for.
She
being
got
wild.
Way wasted.
The infamous Canadian girlfriend. What are you, Manti Te'o?
No, she was an American girlfriend.
No,
it
was
girlfriend.
A girlfriend that I, we were in Canada.
Oh, all right.
But I took her to Canada.
Oh, okay.
She was like 20. So it was yeah.
There you go.
You're not the only one that deserves
it. It was good. I mean, look, the girlfriend took care of me extra. You know what I mean? It was a good night. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got some extra. You know what I mean? For that, I got a couple. You know what I mean?
And then there was a night that Joel, we went to the strip club and Joel forgot his ID.
Oh, jeez. No, see this. But here's the thing about that. That also was. I'm a young comic going out on his first road gig, and that's how I blew it, too. You tell the story. You take it.
Most of your strip club experience, you know, most of mine is based off, you know, comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really – I can identify strip clubs in the middle of Wisconsin if you want. I can find those on a map because depending on which comic you ride with, depending on which kind of guy it is.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, we went to PJ and I had a gig in Ypsilanti, and we took Joel with us.
Yeah,
and it was a shitty. It was a pizza.
And it was literally probably the first time I ever hung out with PJ and Corey.
Yeah,
you know, we actually went to a gig together. You know what I mean? That was like the first time we ever probably socially did any kind of thing like that. You know,
I can't even remember. I think I got paid. I think PJ got paid. And I think I got like $25 or something.
Right. I think we probably split $100.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Or PJ took $75.
Yeah, exactly.
But. Yeah, it was a pizza parlor in Ypsilanti, so we went to the Deja Vu.
Okay.
And PJ and I went right through the door, and we're sitting down, and we're going, and Joel didn't have his ID.
I literally left it on my dresser for no good reason.
They wouldn't let you in.
And they would not let me in at all. And I was, you know, I was 28 years, 27 years old at the time. Nothing. Zip.
Yeah, and PJ and I were like, wait. And then we didn't really know Joel very well.
Right.
And so we're sitting there, and we ordered drinks, and we had, you know, girls were halfway, you know... There was a girl in pajamas. That was her thing. She was wearing, like, her shtick was she was doing a baby doll routine in, like, footy pajamas.
No.
And the guy comes over and goes, gentlemen, your friend is outside and he doesn't have his ID. And I'm like, oh, well, that's good. Good for him. And we sat there for another three dances, I think, pretty much, and left you burning.
I kept telling the door guy, hey, man, my friends are in there. Can you just go get them?
Yeah.
And the guy would come back and, they're kind of tied up right now. And I'd be like, no, just get him, just get him, just get him, you know.
I'm pretty sure PJ got a lap dance while we were, we're like.
We'll get to Joel here.
Yeah, fuck him.
He'll be 20, honey.
Yeah, you're sitting out in the parking lot and absolutely.
I was actually waiting the lobby for the strip club was like connected to like an adult bookstore, one of those novel. You know, so I was sort of like in the lobby of like the novelty store, you know, it was pretty humiliating. And I was kind of like, these guys are never going to take me on the road again because I completely fucked this up. And I knew I fucked it up. I've never not had my ID ever anywhere.
My thing with the strip club is, there was no looking at you and thinking you were under 21.
Exactly. But
you were
every
bit of 27, but no, PJ was like, fuck them. And we sat there, for a
and,
good.
And you know what? Yeah. If it was me now when I was taking some kid on the road,
you do the same thing.
I do the exact same. First of all, I probably wouldn't go to a strip club, but if I was gonna, it would have been a different
thing.
We
sat through a good 3-4 dances and let you serve it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it sucked.
But it never gets better because you stay around show business long enough and you end up on celebrity diving.
Oh, you want to talk about that? All right, let's get into that.
Because I heard Louis Anderson couldn't pull himself out of the pool.
That's the story. And Dominican Sue, our Detroit Lion defensive
end. Look at that. He was so helpless, he had to get a black guy to pull him out of the pool.
But, you know, we talked about the original.
That's a great joke.
Celebrity.
I'm sorry. I'm a little sick right now, and I couldn't laugh. That's class. That's what you'll learn if you go to the Bill Bouchard Institute of Comedy.
That's writing itself right there.
Do you have a name for your class? It's not a dojo. It's not
I just call it Startup Stand-Up.
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
The Sweat Lodge. Yes. The sweat lodge. Boot camp.
I should do that one time, and then we can kill a couple off with a sweat lodge.
That's good. Yeah, yeah.
But we talked about the Fox had a celebrities in peril diving special, and we ran down the lineup of that a few weeks ago on the show. Yeah. And then it's like that show came. It was like a one-night special. Nobody watched it. And then they came up with another show, like another celebrity diving.
That's almost like how the celebrity skating shows, too. Who the hell?
There was more than one of those.
Where are you at in your career that this is what's happening to you? Seriously.
You
got to
do celebrity diving.
What did they pay? Louis Anderson to probably. Does he really need to do this show?
I don't know. Did he?
Yeah, he's working Vegas. I'm sure he's doing quite well for himself.
But I think the problem is all these guys want to do TV because that's it's easier work for money. And the only way to get on to TV is to do some TV.
It's a jump off a high desk.
And until people see you, they don't know you.
There
was
nothing worse than Louis Anderson's Family Feud.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah, the Louis Anderson Family Feud.
Oh, Servation.
Yeah.
Number one answer on the
bar. He was out of breath from walking to the guy, the last guy.
Maloney Family. It was the best show.
Maloney Family.
Wilkinson Family.
But you know what?
What do you think? What are noises that your wife makes at night?
I don't think Steve Harvey has raised the bar at all either.
I have a whole bit.
Well, they've retooled that now.
Now it's the
blacks against the whites in the double entendre
contest. Is that how they
do it? Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That's in my act now.
Oh, I didn't. I
do a whole bit about how Obama needs to.
I can't get past him.
I'm going to have to modify it now, but I was like, I will vote for Obama if he does something about this Steve Harvey Family Feud because it's fucking, it is terrible.
It is almost always a black family against a
white family. Black family, and the questions are now more, it's everything's dirty.
Yeah, every question is like penis is the answer to every question.
What's something long and tubular that you put in your mouth? and then the answer comes, oh, Lord almighty!
And then Steve can't believe somebody said that.
And he's bent
over
laughing.
Thing. His thing is not, oh, man, you did not.
Oh, player.
You
did not say booty.
You did not. You did not.
And it's like, dude, every question is written so that cock or pussy is the answer.
Getting freaky with handcuffs and all that business. I don't know what goes on.
Show me pussy.
Yeah, but he acts like he's so.
Show me pussy.
He's so above it all. And Family Feud used to be a thing where literally it was like they would have kids on the panels in Family Feud.
And the dirtiest thing was Richard Dawson French kissing somebody.
Yeah, and Richard Dawson was making out with girls. And then that other guy, Ray Combs, was trying on the lady's shoes.
Yeah, and then he blew his brains out.
Whatever that was
he
all
was
about.
Trying on the lady.
No, that was his thing. He would try on the lady's shoes that were in the on the teams.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's wild.
That's Steve Harvey. It is every
Steve Harvey. He can't. Yeah.
Every question is like about nipples.
And you know what? I think we're missing a host. And there wasn't Tim Allen's sidekick the host for.
There
a
were
short
two.
Time?
Yeah, and then the other guy,
the guy from Seinfeld.
The guy from Seinfeld, Jay Peterman, was the host. He was the host.
Boy, they're really running through him.
It's not. You'll be doing it soon.
That's such a shit gig. I'll get it.
I think Steve Harvey's rejuvenated.
No, Steve has it now. Steve has it now. Let's just say Family Feud has relocated downtown. It's not for us anymore.
Yeah.
It's now.
What happened is a Happy's Pizza opened up in Steve Harvey's neighborhood, in Family Feud's neighborhood.
Right. It's
Happy Pizza. Yeah.
For those of you who don't live in the greater Metro Detroit area or on a boat somewhere in the Pacific, by the way, we're being listened to on a naval vessel right now.
It was going to be. It turned the Family Feud.
Yeah,
it used to be a nice place to live, and now it's
Django Feud.
All black.
That's like Joey's in Dearborn. Like at the end of the run at that club.
Yeah,
there you started to see like women in veils and stuff. They were like full on hijab, and you're like, okay, this is not quite the same neighborhood as when this club started.
Right.
This is the Family Feud.
Yeah, everything's written in squiggly lines.
And what else?
How about who?
What's that?
Never mind.
You had some awful bit.
I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
So Louis Anderson fell in the pool.
Yeah.
And almost drowned.
Indomitian Sue. And then Greg Louganis is the celebrity trainer.
$5 Louis Anderson was wearing a t-shirt.
I mean, how much water
Greg Louganis saved him?
Louganis.
I think I know why Louis was acting like he was drowning.
Save me.
Mouth to cock resuscitation.
I'm drowning. Someone help me. Oh, please, Greg. Oh, pull me out of this water.
There's something caught in my throat.
Oh, I need your inflatable. Bring over that inflatable tube. Oh.
Yeah, he kind of, his career kind of got ruined by that, didn't it? Because that was all.
Who?
Post Family Feud. Well, like when the gay stuff came out about him.
Yeah,
he was
yeah
sued.
Well, you know, who cares if
he
he's
was
gay.
Sued. There was some casino worker who said he was.
Oh, yeah, he had some trouble.
Yeah, he had some problems.
It was kind of good Sue was there because nobody else could, like.
Right.
Who else could pick up Louis Anderson?
Exactly, yeah.
You needed, you know, super strength to pull that giant tub.
Aren't you lighter when you're in the water, though? You can just.
Even underwater.
The,
yeah. Weighs,
you couldn't kind of float to the end where you could stand.
It's all relative, yeah.
How sad is it? Yeah, you're that fat, you sink. Yeah. You're so fat.
But I think
sinking.
If Louis Anderson dies, I think they can't air that show. I think that's the problem, right? I mean, if Louis Anderson actually drowns, dies,
over. Yeah.
Right there, that thing never hits the airwaves.
No.
That's
it.
There's your underground video right there. That thing's
one
never
of
making
America's most beloved comics.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's on that show.
Yeah, I heard that too, and I'm like,
what's he on the high dive? Sticks his toe in the water?
First of all, you got two black guys in a pool.
Yeah.
Right.
How did they get insurance clearance on this? Who insured this?
And how old is Kareem? I
a
mean,
lot.
Kareem's
got
to be 70 years old.
Kendra Wilkinson.
Okay.
Now, well, she'll float.
Who's she?
She's a Playboy.
She was on the Girls Next Door.
Yeah. Oh, she's a talent.
I mean, she's going to have the silicone that keeps her afloat.
Okay.
But, oh, boy. Oh, and then the Catherine Webb, who was the...
the quarterback's girlfriend.
Miss Alabama. Yeah, there you go.
From the national championship.
How bad is that show?
Well, it looks terrible, but we'll be watching, I guess.
She's on that show, the chick who...
Yeah, right away.
Musburger said she's attractive.
Yeah, right away they booked her.
Oh, they must have given her some money.
Probably. But again...
Boy, what a scumbag he was to say she was attractive.
Yeah, right. We talked about this on the show.
What a joke this country is.
What an asshole.
Everybody's looking for a story.
Because I said, you know, Bill, if you put her on the scoreboard at, like, Comerica Park in the Tigers game, you're going to hear the most foulest shit come out of the stands.
Yeah,
I'd like to fucking suck on those, you know. The guy's got his two kids sitting next to him, and he's drunk and screaming shit about it.
Can I be a caveman for a second?
Yeah, here? I'd like to sniff her chair.
This is what are you, Bobby Slayton?
Bobby Slayton. Now,
look, I want to be a caveman for a second. We have, you know, locally, I'm sure they have in many other markets, there's a Sunday late night sports recap.
Yes.
And there's three of them. 2, 4, and 7 all have a Sunday recap show. Well, on Channel 4, they've just hired a new woman.
Oh.
And they had a woman that hosted it before.
Oh.
And much like Secretary of State, apparently this Sunday slot is now only for women.
Okay, Channel 4, yeah, because they're the ones you want to hear talk about sports.
Who wants to hear the broads talk about sports?
Nobody. And who was it? They got rid of the – Channel 4 got rid of the one they had then? She moved on?
She moved on and got another
gig. What was her name? She had big shoulders.
Katrina Hancock.
Yeah.
Katrina Hancock.
And now who's the new one?
She's some girl from Flint.
Well, the new girl is more petite, and the other one really looked like
she take her serious, though, when they're talking about sports?
No,
I never do.
Here's the thing. I don't really trust...
Jennifer Hammond is about the line. That's where I'm drawing my line.
Well, yeah, I guess I could... my feeling is like...
She's thick, and she looks like she's had
and
a couple...
And she's into the Lions. You can tell she's actually into the Lions.
She's really into it, yeah.
She looks like she's eating some steak.
She's not
nachos.
Too pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. Yeah, that Katrina Hancock, she did look like she was, you know, she looked like she could spike a volleyball. You know what I mean? She looked like she could.
Am I doing this to you?
She could pitch softball. What are you doing? Oh, you're rolling over.
I'll go over here.
Jeez, man.
Sorry,
falling apart.
I didn't know.
Me and Corey can barely. We're blowing our noses, and Bill's over there.
It's a hot buttered mess over
here. Bill's over there going, look, if I could just take my mind off this for 1 second, if I could just go somewhere else. I'll do that.
The whole thing's firing back up. Sorry about that.
Okay,
well, Corey's got his
phone.
Corey has an iPhone now. Let's talk about that. Corey's stepping into 2008.
Yeah. All right.
Corey's stepping in. Now, what's
now you can take your porn with you.
Yeah, what's the deal with
well,
that?
Well, because Amy lost her phone.
Oh, okay.
And it was actually cheaper for us to just get two phones.
Oh, okay. And they gave you the iPhone for whatever?
I had an upgrade.
How was marriage so iPhone? Far?
You
enjoying
it? People ask me, and this is another bit I'm working on.
You enjoying it?
I'm developing this. People ask me this. I've been with this woman for 6 years.
Yeah.
What is different?
Still, it's different when you're married, though.
Is it,
is it really?
Is it different? I don't know.
Everybody has come up to me. Every manner of life.
It's apparently not different for him.
It's kind of like, you know, there's things you say.
I see my wife pee a lot more now than I used to.
Do you?
Yes.
That started?
I'm just trying to arouse you.
That wasn't necessary. I had that covered a long time ago.
I've seen her sister pee, so that's very similar.
Wow.
Look.
Well,
hi-o.
Well, one of her college friends. All right, I'm not going there. All right, let's go.
Hi-o.
Your marriage.
Let's talk about your marriage.
That's your marriage.
When is it going to end?
It's any day now.
But look, you're saying it's no different. He's saying it's different. You're saying it's no different.
I didn't, like, you know, she didn't open up an extra fold in her vagina. They're right. Like magically. Okay. They're like.
Well, then that's where you lose.
You know, it's like, well, when you get married, she turns into her final unicorn form. And you know what I mean? It's like, what? Yeah. No, it's the same woman. We've been living
together a lot more.
We've been living together for a long time.
But well,
you've got to consider this person's feelings.
How long did you guys,
everything you do?
How did you do the living together thing for?
We never. Yeah, we did. Well, okay, short. I mean, no, not really, because she'd go back home. I'd say it was very short. Even lived together,
doing it a long time.
Yeah.
So
I have nostalgia for. I do have nostalgia for when she'd go home. I do.
Oh yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I do have nostalgia for. Well, you know, I used to when I lived in Ferndale. I had a girlfriend who lived in Ferndale, like 3 blocks away.
Right.
And, you know, there were plenty of nights.
That's good.
Yeah. We'd be back and forth at each other's place, but we never lived together.
Yeah.
And there'd be nights where we just wouldn't stay together.
That's a good situation.
And I have nostalgia for that. That's a delightful, you know, you miss out, you know.
But didn't you also sort of have a thing where even when you and Amy were dating, neither of you lived by yourselves ever and had that thing where you just had somebody's own place? Because you guys were always sharing with somebody. You always were roommates.
We had,
roommates.
Like, roommates, yeah.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Somebody needs to have their own. In that situation, somebody needs to have their own place. One of you's got to have the complete nobody's around so we can just fucking scream and, you know, bang each other on the fucking dining room table.
I'm trying to remember when
situation.
I tried. Well, you know.
So that's when you guys moved in together, then you killed that problem, though. Yeah. Which is.
I'm trying to remember back in the ancient memory of when I, like, lived with, you know, my parents.
Right, yeah.
And you try and... My mom, though, like, I moved out as soon as, like, I started getting, like, a real girlfriend.
Right.
Because I remember I was dating this girl, and my mom's like, oh, you can bring her over whenever. Like, my mom was basically encouraging me to bring her over and fuck her and I'm like, I can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I can't do it under the... It's not cool if it's approved.
Yeah.
I can't be doing it under the auspice, you know.
Yeah, might bring
it's cool if it's approved.
You're no, right. She's like, bring your 17-year-old hippie girlfriend over, and you know, she can stay in your waterbed. And I'm like, I'm not doing that.
My parents will do that now, where they'll go, you know, you guys can spend the night. You know, we're like, you know, they're 25 minutes from, you know, you guys can, you know, we'll be over there. Me and whoever, you know, Mike, Max, or whatever. You guys can spend the night here if you want. We got the spare bedroom. You guys are like, yeah, we're doing that. Like, I want to, you know what I mean? I want to do that now.
When we went to Florida. Before we got married, we went to Florida to see her grandmother, and they were like, well, you guys can't sleep in the same room. So I'm like, well, then I'll be at the hotel.
Really?
We got a hotel.
Did you really? Good for you. Fuck all that shit.
One, they didn't have a lot of room.
Right.
But I'm like, oh, so we've lived together for 4 years, but we're not married. So please.
That's for themselves, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I always, that's a thing. That's my boundary there. I'm not staying at your parents' house, and we're not staying at my parents' house.
Well, the last place we're fucking is her grandmother's place in Florida.
Exactly.
It's the last place we're going to do it. You know? I mean...
You want to hear some good stuff?
I'll do it in the line at Cedar Point before I do it in grandma's house in Florida.
I had a good... I was dating a girl who was house-sitting for a nun.
Oh, Jesus, what? Joel. You're going to hell, man.
What?
I was dating a girl... I can't remember. I think she was like a retired nun.
So she was watching
the
convent?
No. She was watching. It was a house. It was a little house. Okay. I can't remember. Like, well, I think I...
What? No, when you...
And,
were,
are you hold on. The you girl, bang, let me you tell banged her in the
wait,
nun
wait,
house.
Listen, no. And she's house sitting for a nun, and my girlfriend says, you know, come on over and we'll watch a movie and we'll hang out. I got a house sit, and she was living with her parents at the time, so it was kind of, you know, fun to get away and have this place where we can go hang out. Okay. So I go over there. And, you know, we're drinking some wine and we're watching this movie. And then, you know, me and my girl get into it and she's like, look. And she shows me the room that she's sleeping in the nun's bed. And she goes, we can't have sex in the nun's bed. She's like, the foot is down. There's no fucking. I'm horned up. And I'm like, come on, we got to do something. You can't do anything. So she thought it was more.
We got to do something. I'm all horned up over here.
Go.
I'm ready.
I can't go home with these blue balls.
Mama lotion.
So instead of having sex, now I think this is way worse. She found it acceptable that we would have sex on the rug of the living room. In the middle of the living room floor, I fucked her instead of in the nun's bed.
Did you
and
take
somehow
her,
that was more acceptable.
Did you take her over to the rectory and wreck her?
Rector nearly killed her.
Hi-o.
Now, does anybody find that odd?
Now, hold on. How are you a retired nun? What do you do when you retire
from being a nun?
Well, you can. I guess you can retire.
It was like a retired nun.
What's the deal? You like put in 25 years in being a nun, and then you're 45, and you get out, and you're fuck city now.
She went to school. It was an older, obviously an older woman, and I think she was maybe teaching school or something, and that's how my ex knew her.
Let's say you go in when you're 20, when you're a nun. Yeah. You go in when you're 20, you get out when you're 45, you're retired from the nunnery,
yeah,
and then it's like, it's knob slobbing time now.
I don't think any knob slobbing.
I'm
going to
start gobbling cocks.
Couldn't have sex in the nun's bed. That would be wrong.
I'm trying to think of some places I've had sex that I shouldn't have.
Yeah?
And I just
in the ass. That's the old newlywed. That's the old newlywed game joke.
Wow.
Bob Eubanks.
I wish.
Yeah.
In the men's room at Joey's. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have told that story. I'm sorry.
No, that never happened, but it would be a good one.
I'm sorry. That was Loopy the pissed off
dog. That would have been a good one.
We had a tender moment.
I had actually somebody come up to me during an open mic one time, and the place was pretty full, and asked me where the best place to have sex was in the building. I'm not shitting you. I'm like, how about nowhere?
This is
what was he at? Did he have a late spot on the lineup?
It was some wasted chick and her boyfriend in the crowd. Yeah. They couldn't keep their hands.
Oh, they were in their
all
crowd.
Over each other.
From a health and sanitation perspective, I can suggest the walk-in cooler at the bagel place. In the deli, in the walk-in cooler on the pickle barrel. Thank you.
You fucked somebody out of pickle barrel?
I sure did.
That trumps every story I can tell right there.
Well, forget about the nun's living room floor. Yeah. That's nothing.
It was cold. She didn't. It didn't last long. I'll tell you that. She was like, "Oh fuck this."
There was a guy that was working. I gotta watch. I don't want to give anything, but the guy was working at a club. He was from out of town, so he was kind of lucky to even be working in this club because they don't use a lot of out of towners. And the guy, you know, he had some girl in whatever, and he's banging her in the green room. During the headliner set.
Get out of here.
The owner walked. I wasn't there. I didn't see this happen, but I was there at the night that it happened, but I wasn't there. The owner of the club walked in on the guy banging his girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
During the show.
Oh,
and
man.
I think it's the last we've seen of that guy, too. Oh. So.
Wow.
Is it close, this club?
It's a club. It's a club that you guys might know. And a guy walked in.
Might know.
And a guy and the owner of the club walks in.
I can't wait
on the guy banging the chick. Not that that was probably the first chick ever banged in that green room.
Mouth me the
guy. But
guy's
literally
name.
The
Mouth
guys.
Me the names.
You know what? Let me write it down.
Write it down.
No. I don't know the guy. Like I said, the guy's from out of town. And then, yeah. So that's the guy. And see, I'm sure the audience.
Okay, I knew that part. Probably
right, that part
that's
we
the
knew.
Guy. That's the guy from out of town.
I can't see the first one.
Yeah, it's.
I get it. Okay.
Yeah,
it
I don't know if you guys
familiar.
Know the guy.
Familiar.
You guys probably don't even know the guy, but yeah, he was caught.
And this happened.
This happened. Not even. It's happened. Yeah.
There was it wasn't full on sex, but there was a lot of making out going on backstage at a Stanhope show.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't Stanhope. It was the opener.
Oh yeah.
It was me and the other guy, and the other guy brought his girlfriend to like go. You know, he was showing off, like,
right.
Where would you work at a stand-up? Where'd you work with him at?
I would give away who the guy was. But I've worked with stand-up a couple times. Right. But I've worked with him a few times. But, yeah, unbelievable. That was, that goes on. Guys will do that.
I know a guy, a headliner.
How come comedy has never produced pussy for me ever?
I know a guy's a headliner. He had a chick middle for him. His chick was middling for him. And the show ended, and he took her in the back room, right at the club.
Nice.
Yeah.
Look.
Do I know these people?
Yeah, you know those people. Exactly who I'm talking
all
about,
right.
too. It's like a married guy, too. This is not a married
guy.
And he just took the chick right in the back room. I don't know that he banged her, but he did something.
I
heard that story, and I was
I know
like,
I look like John Belushi and Danny DeVito had a kid, but... I've never. How come comedy has never equaled pussy for me? Like,
you probably weren't going for it. That's why.
I think if you go in with the intention of, hey, I'm going to get laid, and you want to sit there and you want to work these broads and buy them shots and all that stuff, it can happen for you.
Mean,
but
I think in the entire history of doing comedy, I've picked up two girls. from doing the show.
Right.
And that was, you know.
Well, you have the audience, and then you have, well, see, for me, you have the audience, and then you have the wait staff.
Yeah.
And then you have other performers on the show, if provided there's girls there. It's an open mic situation. And that third category I've got down. That one I've aced.
Yeah, you do.
That one I. That one
you would be sued in any other corporate situation.
No. Well, would I? But other girls on the show. If a girl's on the
show. I'm just saying you're in a position of power.
And I. Oh well, yeah. In some of those, sure, I was in a position of power. But
I'm sorry. Did was that statement said by a man who married a waitress from a comedy club?
Yeah, exactly. That, Bill.
I wasn't.
Trust
me, she had all the power.
So I mean,
when I found that extra fold, Corey, I was like Flynn.
Woo!
But yeah, pulling the random girl from the club is always, because I've had it where you know, the girl is so drunk or so nasty that, you know, that's not happening.
I mean, you know, that's my thing. Now I needed probably to have done a better class of road gigs in my life.
Sure.
But almost every road gig I've done, I go, I don't want these girls.
Sure.
There's been maybe a couple times, but it was like, you know, please.
Well, I did a thing once where I pulled two girls out of a show. They were just talking after, and like, you know, I brought them up to the hotel room. I had them making out with each other and all this stuff.
What the hell?
But
what is going on?
But it just, here's what happened with that one.
You middle!
It just became a thing. It just became a thing with these girls where it was like, we got to go meet our friends at the bar, and I was hanging out, and I was hanging out, and I was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It became like an all-night hang instead of, let's go back to the room and have sex, and I had to hang out all night, and eventually it was just like, fuck all this. So that's out now, too. I don't do that, and that's another reason, because I didn't want to be the guy that hangs out all night.
Yeah.
Because if you want to do that, those guys, you know, you see them on the road, and they hang out all night. They go out to shoot pool after the show.
Yeah.
And eventually, they think they're going back to the Days Inn at 3 in the morning, but they don't know that.
Yeah.
So they're at 10:30, they're out buying shots and having chicken wings and all this shit with broads, whereas I got no patience for that. I'd rather get in my car and go home. So I don't want to sit around all night and try to make something happen. You know what I mean?
80% of the gigs I ever do, it's like me and Bill go to Sheboygan.
Yeah.
We show up at the club and they tell us that nobody's there because the other bar got a mechanical bull.
You should have been here last week.
Yeah, that's the
they literally told us that. They said the turnout's light because over at Shooters they got a mechanical bull. they told us that.
Yeah.
And then Bill and I sat there and, like, you know, had some nachos and we're like, oh, good night. That's the gig I go to.
Yeah, one night I took me and the headliner took a couple chicks out.
What is going on with you?
So listen to me.
You get more.
This is from 13 years of stories here. Yeah. Me and the headliner took two girls out, and we did the thing where we took them to the bar and we bought them shots and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We went back to the hotel. The headliner took his girl into his room. My girl got on the elevator and went back home. Ditch left her friend with the headliner, and she took the road, and I went back to my room by myself.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, that happens too. So the other guy was the other guy had something I didn't have, or whatever. He was the headliner, or I think he got the slutty one.
Yeah, that's what you're shooting for,
wingman.
Really, in that situation.
I was wingman, and he was.
Which
he got
one
the,
of you is more of a slut?
Yeah, he got the slut, and I got the prudish friend who was just along for the ride. And, you know, that happens,
too. Oh, the prude friend.
But see now, and then here's another good story. I was doing a show with a guy who has a reputation for getting drunk. And we drove up to the show up northern Michigan somewhere.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact town.
Does this guy play guitar?
This guy's a drunk guy. You guys might know him. I don't want to say any. So this guy's reputation.
You can't say any names on
this
show.
I can't. Well, listen, when I tell the story, the guy gets drunk. So we rode up there together in his Cadillac. And then the guy gets so drunk that I have to drive him. Like, I have to drive. My goal is I have to just drive him back to the hotel after the gig. And he gets so drunk that I met a girl. And what I did is I threw the drunk headliner in his Cadillac and the girl, drove him back to the hotel, and then took the girl in the Cadillac out onto town for the night.
Nice.
You know,
I didn't end up fucking her either. But it was a good story up until then, man.
You know, I guess the only reason I'm not dropping names.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, because, you know.
You know,
yeah,
because the only, and I feel like a pussy. I feel like I've never at any point held back. It's that you don't want to be caught doing something yourself and then get ratted out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, discretion
there's a code
is,
of there's an omerta for a reason.
Sure. Right.
In
right,
this
right.
thing that we do. In our thing.
In this game of lovemaking.
you know what I'm saying, in our thing.
But you guys are past that anyway. You guys are married. Who gives a fuck, that's right? I mean, you know.
It was Jason Benson.
Hey.
What I'm saying is.
I'm not dead, Joel.
No, I know what
he was. Two fingers into a broad at the stand-up
really?
Show. Yeah.
Oh!
My God. Two knuckles deep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Jason Benson. He ends up marrying those girls, though. Don't be envious of that.
They will take all his money. Yeah.
That guy's.
I banged a girl in a pickle barrel to walk in cold.
No,
I wish I was making that up.
That's tremendous.
That's a pickle barrel. That's a good
one. That's tremendous.
The guy I worked with, who was the drummer in Jakers Newberg's band.
Oh, okay.
He would like bring girls into the basement storeroom. And we'd be like, hey, is Brad. He was the delivery guy. It was great. We had a deli and he did deliveries.
Yeah, my God.
I'd be like, hey, is Brad back from the deliveries? And I'd be like, I think he went downstairs. And the other guys would go, okay,
don't eat the pickles.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll just let that go.
Oh. Yeah, guys are scumbags, man.
They like, and then I was like dating a girl that worked there and they didn't realize it. Like the owners didn't realize it. They would book us together.
Oh.
And I'd be like, I'd be out there like literally making a sandwich for somebody, and she'd be like just back where the people couldn't see in the back room going. And I'm like trying to put some mayo on this.
Corey demonstrating the taking your top off move for those of you that at home listening in your cars.
I'd be like, I can't believe you. I'm trying to make a sandwich.
Flashed her breasts.
Yeah, she would.
Whilst you were making
a
hoagie.
I'm trying to make this Cy Ginsburg for somebody, and you're back there flipping the whip. Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't think my theory with comedians and guys getting laid is that if you get into comedy and you're a guy who's getting laid, you're the guy at the sandwich shop who's bringing girls in for deliveries, and you go and you do comedy, then yeah, you'll probably continue that into a comedian who gets laid.
Yeah.
But if you're a guy who doesn't get laid and you just get into comedy,
that's a good point.
Because you think you're going to get girls, it ain't going to happen.
No, that's a
and that's my theory.
That's a tough call.
It is.
Believing you're going to get pussy from comedy.
You know what?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Not the reason to get into it.
It's like in the movie The Swamp Thing. You know, the essence turns you into what you are. So, you know, the Swamp Thing guy, he already loved plants.
Yeah.
So that's why he turned it
right. But I do believe that the comedy nerdy. Can give you a certain confidence, and it can make you, it can be a bit of an icebreaker if a girl sees you on stage and that kind of stuff. But I don't believe that it.
If you're an autistic man who dresses like you went to the Black Comedian Workshop warehouse and bought, like, you buy, like, purple.
Don't tell
suits.
Me you're not going to say his name because you're worried about some backsplash in comedy.
If you're Andrew Ackner.
Exactly.
And you can't pull tail better than. Look, here's my thing.
By the way, have you deleted him from Facebook yet? Because we've been trying to do this where we would have a ceremony where we would delete assholes from Facebook on the show. And this guy, I got so fed up over the Christmas holiday.
Why? Because of his posts?
I think I deleted him, and then Corey's like, are you reading this Andrew Ackner post?
There's a few well-known people around there I'd like to dump.
And I go, you know what?
Posts.
I'm not. I think I dumped Andrew Ackner without doing it on the show as part of a comedy bit. I did it out of actual anger and frustration. So, Corey, if you'd like to have that honor, I can't see your laptop from here. Bill is watching.
Yes, I'm watching in there.
So that's good.
There's a few other people on there that.
Can we talk about this? And we probably shouldn't name names. Can we talk about the two comics where the woman was infatuated with the man for multiple years? And has been sending him love notes and.
Do you want to talk about that?
I don't know how to even describe it. It's so bizarre.
You see this? There you go.
Relax.
So what do you do? Have you deleted that guy, or are you just doing something else?
I'll find somebody.
Now Corey's looking at it, and then by the way, that's not right for you to look at that while I'm sitting across.
I'll find somebody to delete.
Because you're being a dick right now.
What?
If you
just pull up his name right there.
I'm looking for somebody.
Okay, I thought you were looking at something else. But anyway, I don't know how to describe this, but basically, a woman who has been around in Santa for a little bit, has apparently, now, did she bang this guy a million years ago?
I don't think so.
Or did they just talk sometime and she felt
a certain
kind of connection?
I think it was a matter of talking and
did they make out even? Was there any physical?
Not that I know of.
But this thing must go back 5 years now.
Oh, at least.
And I believe it happened at one of Bill's parties, not to give those things. I mean, these things sound fantastic, by the way.
I think somebody paid some compliments to somebody and somebody took those compliments too far.
So she's, this girl, this married woman is infatuated with this guy who, is the guy married as well?
Yes.
And so this guy's married, and apparently she's been stalking him like on Facebook for years.
Yes.
And then the guy gets so fed up one day, he puts it on Facebook and goes, look, this woman's been stalking me for 5 years. You guys ought to know. I'm
not only that, she's gone. She went to his work.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, what? Really?
Call up at his work and things like that.
And then,
wow. You
know, and then Bill gets caught in the crossfire.
Yeah, somehow I get in the middle of this. I don't even know.
And the guy puts this on Facebook, and I immediately call you like, all right, Bill, tell me what's happening with this, because I thought it was all made up at the beginning.
You're forced to play Dr. Bill.
Yeah.
And get in the middle of this.
She actually contacted me at one point and asked me to ask him to take something down. He put on Facebook.
Oh, God. But see, that's the dark side of this whole getting laid thing. That's a guy who didn't even get laid.
But in that scenario, I'm the one who gets shot.
Yeah?
Somehow I get shot.
Oh, yeah. Because you're the vessel through which all of this flows, unfortunately. But that was bizarre, man, because there's two people that I would never think.
Ever had sex?
Not with each other. But here's a woman who you think has a husband, and I think I've met her husband and all that stuff, and she's out there, and you know, for me, I feel like, you know, there's been days, there's been times in my life where I've tried to, as we've talked about on the show, get with a girl who was performing, I was performing comedy with, and it would never have even crossed my mind to even approach this woman for a sexual encounter, and not because of anything physically wrong with her, although, to each his own, I think there's guys who wouldn't touch that.
She has fetish good looks.
Right, I mean, it's
fetish good looks.
You know, I mean, but it's not like, you know, it's not like the most horrible.
You mean she has good looks like Boba Fett? She has fetish.
Bobo fetish good looks.
She's got good look. So I would never even think that this woman was looking to get laid or anything. And then the next thing you know, look, I'm no fucking prize. But this guy, I wouldn't think that this guy's getting laid either.
Well,
what's going on?
I have no idea.
The hell is going on?
I have to take the fifth on a lot of the stuff because I.
But
don't
why?
Wanna...
But then why? I feel like sometimes I have a reputation as a scumbag.
Yeah.
And I'm doing none of this. All my shit is above board.
Yeah. Well,
I'm taking girls out to dinners. You know what I mean? I'm not doing all kinds of backdoor shenanigans.
I take broads to good places like Red Robin.
Yes.
All right? They put the onion rings right on the burger.
They give you endless fries.
Bottomless fries.
Honey,
it's not a regular fry. It's a steak fry.
Honey, if you want the bottomless fries, you got to get topless for me.
That's how it works. Just feel.
Hey, let's all get bottomless.
Like maybe my stuff being out in the open and that. Maybe there's more going on in the world with other people who you never think that are up to wilder, crazier shit.
Everybody has their secrets.
Than I'm up to ever I'm doing.
Joel, you once had a good point.
What was that?
About the change in ownership. The change in ownership.
Oh, okay.
A venue changed ownership, and you said, and things changed there.
Yeah.
And you said, well, sometimes... To run a place full of scumbags, you got to be a scumbag.
Yeah, that's true. I said that.
Good, decent people took over the place.
Yes, that's true.
And it didn't have the same clientele anymore.
That is a play, yeah.
And that's exactly what happens. People recognize other scum fuckers.
Yeah?
And if you're actually a decent, good guy. Look, I know I'm an asshole in the comedy business because I tell open micers they're not funny. But if you could find, if anyone anywhere in fucking 13 years of doing comedy could find where a waitress... Mm. Or a manager or somebody had a complaint about me I screwed somebody up. You can't find it.
Yeah.
But all these guys who are reprobates or jerk-offs who are trying to pick up the door girls, who are scummy, who are doing all kinds of drugs and all this kind of crap, they roll along in the tide because the other scumbags go, I recognize that.
Yeah, maybe there's something to
am
that.
Right? Am I right about that?
You know, I just... Yeah, maybe I don't know. I don't know. It's just I think it's an odd phenomenon that I've noticed that I just go, you know, these people are all up to. I mean, am I as much as I admit to and as much as is known about me, I'm actually at the end of the day, you know, it's like that's my secret, my underside, the things that people don't see about me is that I'm a good guy. Versus.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
or we're saying what that veneer of scumbag is on top, but underneath, you know, creamy center, good guy. These people, good people on top,
I don't
full of shit in the middle. Difference.
I don't really see that about you, but okay. I'll take your premise. I'll take the premise.
Come on, man. Oh, jeez.
Well, what? First of all, every girl now, every. every 180-pound hipster bitch. suddenly... every girl that's got one Belle and Sebastian's record and stretch marks for days suddenly now thinks that they're special.
Yeah.
I've talked to these girls and they think they're, but they really think their pussy is a special snowflake. That it's got, it's like a magic, like that their pussy is somehow magically better than the other pussy.
Wow.
I want to meet these girls.
Your wife is a lovely lady.
Oh, yes.
Come on, everyone. Honestly, Bill.
Look, you have
Bill, that was a good get. That was a good.
You have one of the top.
Oh, I hit a home run.
That was a score. That was a score. That was a touchdown. That is an all-time highlight reel. That is Reggie Jackson hitting the ball off the lights in the All-Star game, man. That was.
You knew when to call it a quits. You were like, I'm not doing better?
You said that was it, right? You saw that and said, that's as good as it gets. Time to quit now.
Time to get out of the game, baby.
Get out while you're ahead.
You got that Super Bowl ring and you retired. You didn't come back and play for the Chiefs.
No.
Right. You know, some you could come back and play for the Chiefs.
I retired on top, baby.
He's Michael Strahan. Yeah, he just went out and he won the Super Bowl and said, that's it. I'm done.
Bill's got one of the top five spankable wives in Detroit comedy. And, you know, give it up.
Top five.
So at least up there.
Let's get top three.
Well, there's guys who lost.
Two.
Denise Hildebrandt's number three.
Yeah. you say spankable or punchable?
Well, you know, there's comics that there's comics who have lost the hot wife in the not too recent past. So we have to you have to consider that.
Who's that?
Russ Brown.
Oh.
I mean,
he had a hot wife.
Was that a hot? Wait. Which one was
not
that?
Not a hot wife? The Russ Brown wife?
I can't remember. I don't even remember.
Maybe if this was 1987.
No, you didn't like that. No, I thought she was.
I liked.
I mean, I'm grading it on a curve considering Russ and everything.
Well,
you know what I mean. Everything's relative. So I mean,
I think Russ had. Well, she had three kids.
Yeah,
so I think he took.
He took her youth.
Yeah,
he
first of all, that marriage would have lasted if she was deaf. If she could not hear.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening to the most inside episode of this
podcast.
Well,
Russ has been on the show, and I think people know his story a little bit about how, you know, he was this guy who kind of was able to, like, become a road comic because his wife had this great job.
Yeah.
And she was paying the bills while he was making, you know, $100 a weekend doing these fucking one-nighters. And then you know, years down the road, he figured out it wasn't much of a marriage there or whatever. Or she figured out, hey, fuck this.
Yeah.
What looked like bullshit to all of us for all that time is how is she putting up with that shit?
Yeah.
She suddenly opened her eyes and said,
How am I
putting up with this shit? And I guess he might have banged a chick on the road or two, too. I don't know.
All right,
that
now you're putting dirty laundry out there.
No, I don't know that. No, come on. I'm just saying. I mean, he's an example, and I think he would. I feel that if Russ was here right now, he would tell the story.
I agree. And so we could all leave, and he would talk, and we could come back and sit down and catch the end of it.
Well, this has been exhausting.
I've never laughed so much on one show, but I don't know if that equates to the audience, but fuck it. Hey.
Oprah was the classic ever. That was the
Oprah.
That we did Assholes of the Year.
Oh, jeez.
And we started talking about Oprah as the number one asshole of the year. And I think Joel and I came close to death. We both literally had cardiac. We started talking. I was talking about how she brought back all the old talk show hosts on Oprah.
Yeah.
And Ricky Lake, and she made them all bow down. And I said they put a $20 bill on a fishing hook for Montel.
And it was all about Oprah making Montel do odd jobs for her.
Yeah, and we were dying. So this was up there.
This was good. Inside
politics.
Inside stuff. Man.
I don't know if you enjoyed it as a listener.
William.
Well, but, I mean, listen, it's a show, and if you don't like it, go listen to the 320 other shows on the website now at joelradio.net. And I want to thank everyone for listening,
listen
as always.
Nobody likes onions.
And of course,
I'm going to go home and buy a pickle barrel. I hear it's a great place to
build a walk-in cooler.
By the way, you can't pull that off with a girl over 18. This was a 17.
Oh yeah, this is a teenage.
Oh yeah, no, girls who know what they're doing are not getting up on that pickle barrel.
Or they really know what they're doing. Yeah, that's true. The two.
So
you guys can see me at the
when I was in a.
At the Pickle Barrel in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the 29th.
When I was an usher at the movie theater, I must have been 17, 18. I met a girl. I tore a girl's tickets for Dead Poets Society.
Oh, yeah.
And then I later ended up sitting with her and getting to third base. Right there during Dead Poets Society. I mean
wow.
I mean that's yeah. So there is that thing.
Every girl loves that movie.
There is something when you're that age, and girls will just let you do stuff just because they're not in their parents' house. And
that's a good point. They love that movie.
Well, I don't even know. I it could have been any movie at that point, but it was just it was literally. Hey, I tore your ticket. You're cute. I'm going to come sit with you. And then the next thing you know.
Look at this guy. What is this you have?
There's nothing. I have nothing.
It's like Kramer's coat.
Is that a Seinfeld?
Yeah.
We get laid with the coat.
He had the special power.
I'm not trying to brag or anything, but
he is trying to brag.
No, I'm not.
And look.
It's working.
No, he is.
No.
I've known Joel a long time. And I recall what I like to call the sexless year. Joel was the least fuckable guy in Detroit at one point. I mean,
I have an old picture where I think I look like Johnny Depp in it. Then it's in that pile over
really?
There.
Really? Let me see.
I put it on Facebook today. It's the one with the flannel shirt.
Is this the picture of you going to the optometrist?
You think you look like Johnny Depp in this photo?
You just, the one. There's my mom and my dog.
He looks like the kid from Superbad right there.
Which let me see the one.
Hair,
which one is that?
Yeah,
that one.
I mean, if that is not a John Hughes character, I don't know what it is.
With that hair, you look like a wild Samoan.
Is this the Johnny Depp?
No. The one where I'm outside the bar.
Oh, yeah, this one.
No, not that one. Keep looking.
Oh, yeah.
The one right there. Your thumb is on there.
You think this looks like Johnny Depp?
I think that. Now, that was in the mid-90s.
All right.
That was in the mid-90s, but I have the mustache and goatee that are not connected.
And it's a nice up shot.
I've got long hair. It's kind of a blurry, dark photo.
It's shot up.
And but I think that. I think I kind of...
Outside the Memphis Lounge.
It's shot up with butter. With an injection of butter.
Yeah.
So Corey's not buying into this theory.
No. Was this when Johnny Depp was researching the
role? I think that's when he was on 21 Jump Street.
He was researching the role of a fat Italian fuck.
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, listen, here's my thing about
Doug. This is a you are younger and thinner.
Yeah, he was starred with Cher in that movie Mama Eats Lasagna.
Okay. I just want to... Here's the thing. I'm not saying, like, I'm a guy who gets laid a lot, but my thing is that the sex that I do have often ends up being...
The sex that I do.
Being funny.
Quality.
Awkward. Weird. And so I share it as part of my comedy, and that's what my act is too.
And by the
my
way,
act isn't a lot of true stories about
by the way,
finger to banging a girl during Dead Poets Society. But I'm saying like it comes out of my real life, which is filled with weird stuff like that. And then I have normal relationships, which are fine, which are not even worth talking about in a public forum like this. And then funny things happen to me. That's just my life.
Funny's the last thing you want in sex. That's
exactly. It. But I
want funny in every part of my life but sex. That's where you don't want to be called funny.
Well, that's why.
Which is ironic.
That's how I became the man that I am today.
For me, the funny is the only thing that's ever gotten me into the pants.
Sure.
That's the only thing I've ever had.
Right, yeah.
I've never had a dollar.
Yeah.
I'm not. I've been balding since I was 23.
Yeah.
Funny is the only thing that gets me in the bedroom. When you get in the bedroom, I turn into, it's like a fucking Ingrid Bergman movie. Ingmar Bergman movie. I turn into,
it's Casablanca.
Yeah. Well, no, it's Ingmar Bergman. I want to say, I turn into Max von Sydow in The Seventh Seal. Yeah. I get very somber
yes.
in the bed.
Yeah? You get very serious.
You're somber in the sack.
He's kidding. Serious.
It's a joke.
He's a serious lover, this Corey Hahn.
I'm like...
He takes his lovemaking seriously.
I'm like Jorma Taccone.
A lot of staring.
It's a lot of
staring.
It's a lot of intense.
Yeah,
it's a lot of it's black and white.
I turn into Jack Palance in the sheets.
Listen. Hey. Listen to you. Now I'm going to want you to slide over. And put that other leg up. That's right, honey. Go ahead. Go ahead, pick it up, I dare you.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So I guess now I know how you guys feel.
He's doing one-arm push-ups above.
Yeah, Corey's, there it is. Corey.
I'm married. It's all over for me.
There it is. Corey Hall's Eastern Bloc sex.
We got a goof on your sex life.
Cold War sex with Corey Hall.
We got a goof on your sex life because I got married.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I know, man. And listen, I look up to that. I wish I could get married, and I thought I maybe was going to get married for a minute there, and it didn't work out. So, you know what I mean? It is what it is. The grass is always greener. Hey,
it ain't over yet.
It ain't over yet.
Shit happens.
Yeah.
Look at this. You look at Ridley.
You have a chance to be married 3, 4, 5 times. No, but no, honestly, you never know.
You never know.
Joel, someday you can be like your comedy hero, Mark, and you can drive around and look at all your houses that aren't yours anymore.
The houses I paid for.
And you can look and with a sense of pride.
Oh, man.
Yeah, if only. Okay. If only I could pay for the house I
have
now.
There goes my bookings for 2014.
Exactly. All right. Well, you know, hey. It is what it is, man. We're all just going through life. We're doing the best we can.
You eventually find the right one.
You know, I'm out on the town with John Tenney. We went to pick up girls the other day. We're supposed to have John in to talk about that one day. We're going to have John in. But me and him didn't do so well, believe it or not.
I'm shocked.
Did you hard to believe me and Tenney going out?
You know John?
Is he the voice?
No, that's Rob. Okay.
John is the ghost hunter, paranormal investigator.
Oh, I met him once or twice. Yeah.
Yeah. John is, he's always been smooth with the ladies.
He gets girls,
but he's squirrely with the ladies.
Yeah,
John has never wanted to be pinned down. He's had long-term girlfriends, but like, generally, kind of elusive. Girls chase after him,
right? Yeah,
I don't know what the fuck that's.
He's
like.
He's got an aura.
I don't know.
He's got some aura or something, but I don't know.
The only girls who ever chased after me, I was running. I was trying to get away from them. You know what I mean? They're exactly the kind of girls.
Yeah,
a couple girls have chased after me, and I was like. Is there an axe to break this wall? How do I get away? I felt like Leatherface.
Pull the fire alarm. No. But I think I brought it down. I think when me and him go out, it looks like the American Pickers or something. You know what I mean? We go out and it's just, it was not a good thing. So I don't know. I tried to be his wingman for the night and that didn't work. So I'm honest about my failures.
Like the American.
You know what I mean? We sort of have.
You do look a little like Frank.
I am kind of the fat guy from America. I have a little bit of that, which is too bad because I used to look like Johnny Depp in a faraway, blurry kind of way. And a guy called me Fat Jack White on Facebook.
I had a picture from that
back in the day.
Look here, Joe Fracatoni. I'm not going to hear you talk about
it. All right, the Joe Fracatoni radio show is about to wrap up.
Bill,
I want to thank Bill.
Call this episode Inside Joke.
Inside Joke.
Inside Jokers, which a couple people in the green room have done. They've gotten Inside Jokers. Where can we see you?
I will be at the Connections Comedy Club in Toledo on February 7th through whatever.
February 7th through 9th.
And then the 14th through the 16th at Lansing Connections.
No, look at that. It's a big Valentine's Day weekend.
And then
with
I got some other one-nighters here.
Good.
And there,
well, that's good. And they can always take your class. I know. Don't you have
comedy class starting March 2nd at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak.
And you might even see
February
me.
February 5th at Joey's in Livonia.
There you go. So Bill doing his thing. And go see him. And
Bill really is a pillar of this community.
Mm-hmm.
And it will turn.
I'd like
to
come back on sometime. Don't be such.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing.
I forgot how much I enjoy.
But you know what? It's one of those things where our schedule gets weird.
Yeah,
and
it's always weird.
Me and him can barely ever get in sync to get together, and then to get a third person involved. You know, it's a lot like, the back room on the Pickle Barrel. Just two people getting together was hard enough. So to get that third person.
By the way, I'm not tall enough for the Pickle Barrel, too. If you're like 6'5", that's a good move for you. But for me, it was a struggle.
I hear you. Yeah. Well, it's always a struggle. And I hope it wasn't a struggle to get through this show. Bill,
thank you
were a great guest. Thank you for coming back and doing this. And, of course, Corey.
Good luck tonight.
Well, I don't know what tonight is. When you're listening to this. It will all be over. But Corey, read him in Metro Times. And don't forget about, we did our big movie extravaganza. If you missed that, that was a great show. Our best and worst. And
I'll be at Monty's in Mount Clemens. And I'll be at Laugh Tracks on Friday. And I'll be at the Comedy Castle, unless Mark hears the last 10 minutes of the show. I'll be there next month. So
you did it to yourself.
I'll be buying girls chicken sandwiches at local eateries until I find the right one. That's where you can find me.
The Flavor Flav.
That's a possibility.
Have you had Billy Sims yet? You got to go check that out.
What is it? Barbecue Billy Sims?
Yeah, you got to check it out.
Bill, he just said that's a possibility.
What's up?
I said you got to take her to the Flavor Flav place. He goes, that's a possibility.
Well, hey, listen.
Hey, Joel, if I could, I know Bill gives advice to comedians.
Yeah.
Here's my advice to this comedian. learn about a salad. You gotta go somewhere that doesn't have fucking cheese sticks.
It's all
if
about
you wanna get like, girls like restaurants with
I go to nice restaurants. I do all that. Okay. It's anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget
Ramshorn. That's a nice restaurant. They got everything on that menu.
Joel Radio's on Stitcher. Don't forget about Stitcher. Joel Radio, get the app.
I never remembered about Stitcher.
Well, Corey, you can have Stitcher. You have your iPhone.
My phone.
Put it on Stitcher. Anyway, good night, everybody. We'll catch you next time on Joel Radio. See ya.